open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for all you've done for us. Whenever it feels like there's no reason to feel joy, please remind us of the joy to be found in you, in your wonderful, wonderful works. Because you are always good in all ways. So, Father, have your way this morning in this word, and we just bless you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Let's start with a verse out of Nehemiah 8:10. And the second part of it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold." Yeah, I'm sitting here this morning, I just getting more and more overwhelmed. I've got my notes, but then I don't know if you can see this. I'm just scribbling all over the place as worship was going on. I think everyone was speaking the words that I'm going to be talking about this morning. I mean, I told Briley, I said before the service, I said, you know, if I'm going to be speaking about joy this morning, and I said, if I had to pick, I had to take a picture of someone representing joy, it would be Briley. And then she's up here, and you know, every time they're singing about joy, she's looking at me, she's got this big old smile on her face. I just, God, you are so, so good. In Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Stronghold being a fortified place, a place of security, a place that you can feel safe in. That's what he is to us. So I don't think there's any guessing as to what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. But I do want to start with a simple question. You know, do you think there's a difference between happiness and joy? You guys get an A. Correct answer. You know, when I have I go out on my bike, I go out for a nice ride out in the county, wind's blowing in my face, the air's beautiful, birds are chirping, you know, rainbows and unicorns, everything is wonderful. I'm happy. You know, I am so, so happy. I have that motorcycle and I can just enjoy it. I'm happy when I have German chocolate cake for my birthday. You know, and it's okay. Those things are A-okay. And it's passed down from generation to generation. Now our sons are all German chocolate cake eaters, and it looks like the kids are getting into German chocolate cake too. So it's a good thing. Those moments, you know, they bring me happiness. But today, I want to focus on joy. I believe, you know, even though both of those emotions, happiness and joy, can coexist, I think there is a difference. The difference between joy and happiness lies in their nature, duration, and their source. Happiness is something that happens to you. It's an emotional state that's influenced by, you know, all these external circumstances. It depends on what's happening to us. It's not a choice that we make. It is frequently described as a temporary feeling that's dependent upon favorable circumstances, German chocolate cake, beautiful weather on the motorcycle. It's associated with the brain's reward system and dopamine release. Everybody know what dopamine is? It's a substance that's manufactured in your brain, gives you that feel-good feeling. So that's what happens with happiness. Joy, however, and you're going to have to excuse me because I was a scribbling maniac during the worship service, so I've got arrows and stuff going all over my paper here. Joy, however, is something much deeper, supernatural, part of the fruit of the Spirit. What's the order of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. And I don't know if there's a significance in the order in which those things are listed, but I would like to think so, because love is very, very important in the kingdom of God. So they put joy right after love. So I'm taking it as that's a pretty important thing. You know, happiness is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is not dependent on any circumstances, but rather it is imposed on those circumstances, right? It can persist through difficult times. You know, sometimes there's no reason to be happy, but joy is just not an emotion. It's a condition of the heart. And joy can persist through difficult times. And it's not reliant on external conditions. Joy can share a space with other emotions. However, such as sadness and fear. You know, for instance, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary in Matthew 28:8 says, "And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy." Those two existed at the same time. Happiness cannot share space with those kinds of emotions, with fear, with darkness, difficulty. Only joy can reside there. Why? Because you're putting it there. When we choose joy, it can transform your difficult times into blessings and heartaches into gratitude. First point, joy is founded in relationship, not circumstances. John 15:11 tells us, "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." Now, these are Jesus' words after he just got done teaching on abiding in him. Relationship, right? Joy flows from abiding in Christ, not from what happens around us, but rather who is within us. It's relational. Life can bring times of sorrow, but Jesus promises that in him, our joy can be complete. You know, sometimes we wander around trying to find joy in things that change. You know, success, approval, money. And I'm sure you've heard the saying, money can't buy happiness. Well, yes, it can. It bought my Harley. So that brought me a lot of happiness. but money doesn't buy joy. Whoever said that is wrong, wrong, wrong. Oh, goodness. So when we have, you know, these kinds of things that goes on with this temporary situation, you know, we need to draw ourselves back and seek joy in your relationship with Jesus. That's the only place you're going to find joy. And how do you do it? Through prayer, through praying with him, through the word, and through obedience to his word. Point number two, joy is strength in the midst of a struggle. James 1 tells us, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when," not if, but "when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, he's not telling us that Christians are immune from trials. I think everyone that's here can attest to that. You run into trials. Problem is, how do we go through them? How do we go to Jesus? How does he handle it? And then how do we handle it? James doesn't say that trials are joyful, but that we should consider them as joy because of what they produce. The end result. Trials, what do? They test our faith. When we're walking through stuff, it's testing our faith. What happens then? Tested faith produces endurance, right? Joy doesn't mean that we deny these trials, but it allows you to endure through them. James finishes with, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That's where I want to be. That is where I want to be. I want to give you a prime example of the joy in the midst of trials. Just to set the stage in this, in these verses in Acts, Paul and Silas were going to a place of prayer when they ran into a slave girl. And what's that slave girl happening? She's got the spirit of divination, and she's bringing her masters a lot of money. She followed Paul and Silas around and kept on crying out, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God." And she continued doing this for many days. And finally, Paul got fed up with this. And so annoyed, he turned and commanded the evil spirit to come out of her. And it came out. But when her masters saw that their way of making money was gone, they took Paul and Silas before the authorities and said that Paul and Silas were throwing the city into confusion, being Jews, and proclaiming customs which were not lawful for the Romans to accept or to observe. So we're going to jump into Acts 16, 22 through 30. The crowd rose up together against them, Paul and Silas, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them, Paul and Silas, and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Pause here for a second. We sang songs today. It says, in the joy and through the pain, I'll sing praises. Paul and Silas were singing praises. How many of us would be singing hymns and praising God if we were in that exact same situation? I would like to think that I would be, but to be honest, I don't know that I could do that. I know that's what I should do. Paul says, you know, I know what I should do. Sometimes I do the things I shouldn't do. And oh, anyway, continuing on, it says the prisoners were listening to them. Here they are in the inner cells of the prison, Paul and Silas singing, and they weren't alone. There are other prisoners in the prison with them. Pause again. I said, we need to realize that others are always listening to us as Christians. They watch what we say, and they watch how we act. We need to be that example to the world. You know, I think I mentioned this before, that I was standing in a line at a grocery store, and I was in the express line, so I was on my bike. I had my CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association, colors on, and a big patch in the back, you know, and this person in front of me had more items than were in the express lane. And I'm in a conundrum here. I'm representing the Lord. I got my colors on, telling the world that, hey, I'm a Jesus person, and you know, we save, and you know, Jesus saves, and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, I want to tell this woman, hey, read the sign. It says 10 items or less. Wouldn't have been a very good example, but it was the vest that I was wearing that prevented me from saying and doing things I shouldn't do. We're wearing Jesus all the time. That prevents us from doing stupid stuff. Should prevent us from doing stuff. Stupid stuff. I'm going to continue on in Acts. After the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" People are watching us. People are listening to us. But more importantly, they see our actions. We can say flowery words, we can say all the right stuff, but unless we live those words, it's for naught. We have to live, we have to walk the walk, we have to talk the walk, and we got to do all those wonderful things. Their joy, Paul and Silas, wasn't being in prison, but being in the presence of God within the prison. He's everywhere. Your joy, regardless of the circumstance you find yourself in, will draw people to the Lord, much like the jailer in the scripture we just read. Life can be hard at times. Being thrown in, beaten and thrown in prison is pretty hard. I know there are a number of individuals in this congregation that have gone through tough times. You know, they've shared stories about difficulties they've walked through financially, physically, emotionally, and so many more. They've walked through. They didn't stay in those situations. If you want to stay and wallow in the situation, you need the joy of the Lord to get you through that. Remember what Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength, not the joy of money, comfort, or control. His joy that we have abiding in us." Joy is a witness to the world. Point number three. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." You know, this is from Paul, who wrote Philippians from prison. Yet joy, for him, was a major theme. You know, if I'm locked up in prison, I'm thinking, woe is me. You know, when am I going to get out of here? I was wrongly accused, and so forth and so on. Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Joy is commanded, it's not suggested. Why? Because it glorifies God when we rejoice, even when life is tough. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and the world takes notice when Christians have a peace and joy that just doesn't make sense to them. Why are you walking around like that? Don't you know the stuff that you've been going through? Don't you know how tough your life is? The joy of the Lord is my strength, is my stronghold. Yeah, but the joy of the Lord, you know, the joy of the Lord is mine. He is my stronghold. He is my joy. It just doesn't make sense to the folks that don't have that relationship. Here's the story of a persecuted and beaten Paul and Silas in prisons, singing a hymn. It confounded the guards. They didn't understand that. How could someone that's in prison, in shackles, be singing hymns and praises? Doesn't make sense to the world. Makes sense to us, though. Joy and suffering speaks louder than any sermon. You know, there's that old saying that actions speak louder than words. Be that living sermon to those out there in the world. Your joy might be the only testimony that some people see or hear. You don't have to sit there and, you know, preach the gospel to them and, you know, this, you know, start from, you know, Matthew and take them all the way through Revelation. You know, your testimony, the way you live, the way you act, people see and hear and say, something unusual about that person. I want to know more. In a world full of anxiety and bitterness, joy is counter to the current cultural experience that we find ourselves in. This world is getting crazier and crazier. Look what happened with Charlie Kirk. The world went crazy. You know, he was out there preaching the gospel, ministering to, you know, college students, and someone decided that he was going to take his life out. What was his wife's response? I forgive him. Whew. That's so contrary to what the world might expect from anything like that. It's a horrendous act that happened upon Charlie Kirk and his grieving wife. I forgive him. Again, I would like to say I'd be able to do that, but I'd want some retribution. It's just, Lord, work on me. Work on me. You know, we need to choose to live in joy every day. Joy coming from a relationship with Christ. In Psalm 16:11, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. The first song we sang this morning, in your presence is my home. There are just so many lyrics, and I was sitting there trying to write them all down. It's just crazy how we're just matching up with what God poured, you know, wanted me to speak about this morning. Joy is strength in hardship. Who's your strength from? Where'd your joy come from? Joy is a witness to the world. And I want to encourage you today that even though you may not feel joyful, you can choose joy. Choice. Choose wisely. Psalm 118:24 tells us, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Paul and Silas chose to rejoice and sing praises in the middle of a prison. They chose correctly. Let us do so also. Let's make that joy a discipline. Let's make it a habit and make joy your witness. Jesus, speaking in John 15:9-11, says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Why? So that my joy, Jesus, may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Are you abiding in him? You've got his joy. You got to choose it when the opportunity comes knocking. Choose correctly. As Christians, you know that you have the joy of the Lord. Choose it. Don't hide it. Live it, share it, and let it shine. I'm going to end with a prayer, and then I'm going to open up the altars for prayer. You know, something happened, you know, this morning. You know, Beth said that there was, you know, breakthrough. We want to come up after I finish with this. We're going to have the prayer team come up. You want to pray for health. You want to pray for the healing. You want to pray for joy. You want to pray for breakthrough. We'll be ready and waiting for you. So, Father, stand with me if you would, please. Father, I just want to thank you for the gift of joy that comes from knowing you. Wow.
Thank you.
Help us to seek your presence daily and to choose joy, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Let our lives shine with the joy that can only be found in you. Complete joy. Wonderful joy. Joy that would surpass all understanding. So, Father, I just pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.